Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We are looking at Psalm 40, and we looked at the first four verses in the previous episode. We saw that it's a Psalm of David, and it's addressed to the chief musician, the choir master, the choir director. And David said several things. He said that he waited patiently for the Lord, and the Lord inclined and heard his cry. He talked about how the Lord drew him out of pit. The Lord had set him on his feet and made his steps secure. And the Lord, he put a new song in David's mouth, a song of praise to God. And then he said that many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Many will see what David has been through and how David put his trust in the Lord, how he cried out to the Lord, and how the Lord rescued him. And it makes you sort of think, do people see that in us? And when we go through good times, when we go through bad, difficult times, do they see us seeking the Lord? And then do they see and hear a new song about what the Lord has done? Will they see the power of the Lord and turn and trust in the Lord? Even a greater question, what if what we are going through, what if the purpose of it isn't for us because we're so myopic in our lives, right? But what if it is something that the Lord is allowing to happen or the Lord is doing so that others will see and trust in him? Are we willing to be that vessel? Are we willing to allow that? Or do we just want our own way? Then in verse 4, we saw where it said that blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, and a man who does not turn to the proud and does not go astray after a lie. He describes one who trusts in the Lord, who makes the Lord the source of trust. He describes that man as blessed. Then picking up verse 5 now, the psalmist says this, "You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than can be told." So what's he saying he's going to do? He says, Lord, you have literally just multiplied your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. Your wonderful works, your wonders, you have multiplied. You just haven't added them to him, to us. You're functioning exponentially with us in all that you're doing. And your wondrous deeds, your marvelous thoughts, that nothing can compare. Nothing can compare to that. But David says, you know what? I'm going to proclaim them. I'm going to tell about them. Yet they are more than can be told. They're too numerous to count, is what he's saying. I'm going to declare these things, but there's so many of them, we can't count them. We can't recount them all. But he says, I am going to declare these truths to all the great congregation. Then verse 6, in sacrifice and offering, you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering, you have not required. Well, what's all about? David is still living during the time of the law, right? And he's saying his sacrifice and offering, you have not delighted. But then burnt offering and sin offering, you have not required? Well, I thought that was required under the law. Well, it is required under the law. But what's more powerful than the law? He says what the prophets were proclaiming before David and after David, that the Lord is not delighted in sacrifice and offering. He's not delighted in that. He's delighted when we turn to him, when we repent, and when we confess. And there's not a burnt offering or a sin offering required to turn to the Lord and cry out to the Lord. He says, you have opened or given me an open ear. King James says, mine ears thou hast opened. And that word open is really interesting. In the Hebrew, it's kara. And it means to dig, to excavate. In other words, he said, Lord, you dug. I had one person say recently, oh, I got all the earwax out, huh? Well, in a manner of speaking. But the Lord has dug through that which was impeding our ability to hear. He has excavated, he has cleared out, he's dug through to where we're able to hear. David is saying, God, it's only you that I'm able to hear now. You've given me an open ear. I understand. You're not delighting the sacrifices and offerings. You're not requiring burnt offerings and sin offerings, but you are requiring a heart oriented toward you. Verse 7, David says, then I said, behold, I have come, and the scroll of the book, it is written of me. So let me stop here. That's verse 7. It's in the middle of a sentence. And many of us may go, wait a minute, that sounds vaguely familiar. Where it is? There's several of these passages, verses here in the 40th Psalm, that are quoted and or alluded to in other portions of the Scripture. Okay? So, behold, I've come. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me. Well, who is behold, I have come? What book is written? Is David talking about himself? Well, verse 8, he's still quoting, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. So David is speaking of himself, but as he speaks this, he's also proclaiming things that have a prophetic fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. Did David delight to do the will of God? Oh, yeah. Was the law of God within David's heart? Yes. What about us as believers? Is the law of God within our heart? Well, it depends on what you mean. That classic line from the 90s, what the definition of is. Many of you will know what I'm referring. And so many people chuckled about that, laughed about that, but it was entirely accurate when it was said. When you're dealing in a law situation, you have to define and parse every word, okay? So what does it mean that your law is within our heart? Well, those of us who are believers, the Most High God and His triune Godhead dwells within us. And so from that sense, we have the Lord dwelling within us. Do we need to have the law within our heart? Well, the context helps us. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. How do we know what the will of God is? How are we going to be delighted to do the will of God if we don't know the will of God? Well, the will of God was in the law of God, within the word of God. At David's time, it was a portion of what we call the Old Testament. In our time, we have a far greater release of the word of God. And we must know it, and we must keep it within our heart. Now, let me read one more verse right here. We'll be done. Verse 9. David continues, I have told the glad news of deliverance in a great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. One more verse. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. So what is he saying? God, you saved me. You delivered me out of the pit. You did all these things for me, and I'm not being quiet about it. I am telling the great congregation. I am telling everybody. I'm telling those whom I am over them as their king. I haven't restrained my lips. I'm not holding back. I've spoken of your faithfulness. I've spoken of your salvation. I've spoken how you have not concealed your steadfast love. I've spoken of your faithfulness, not only to me, but to the great congregation. And he says, I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I haven't kept all the good things that you have done just to me. I am proclaiming it to everybody. Yeah. That's what we are to do. Again, always remember this. The most powerful thing that you can tell somebody related to the kingdom is what the Lord has done in your life. When you proclaim that, it will draw them to all the stuff they know and all the stuff they need to know to receive the Lord Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. Well, my time's up. Again, I'm Dale. Thank you, and I'll see you in the next episode. Goodbye.